Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to our service today. Welcome to Fiona, who's just walked in and is going to be brave and sit down the front. Brave Fiona, they call her. I'll come and sit next to you later, okay? Welcome to our service for today, Sunday the 11th of November at the Vines. What a week. We have been given so many things to think about and to reflect upon this week. The death of Her Majesty the Queen will affect us in many ways. She has been part of our lives for a long time. A phrase that has been used often in these last few days is, grief is the price that we pay for love. Whoa, what a comment. That's just so good. Lots to think about. And we'll follow this up later in the service. Today is the 21st anniversary of 9/11. And we pause to think about the very significant changes that were made to our society and our world as a result of that. We have celebrated the return of the Royal Adelaide Show. Some people even went. How brave are they? A little crazy, but brave. And the spring weather. That's why they're crazy to go. The spring weather. Beautiful sunshine earlier in the week and then rain. Very heavy rain for Port Augusta. Later on. So let's stand and sing a hymn. Open wide your voice and join with us to sing, Thine Be the Glory. The word thine, you have to open your mouth. Thine. They tell me that the word thine was meant to be replaced with yours, but if you think about when you say yours, your mouth is not opened as wide as thine. So, thine we're going to sing. Let's go. Somebody right now. Come on.
Good to see you.
G'day, g'day, g'day.
Hello.
All of these waves. Look at all of those waves. It's better than the beach at Port Elliot. Well done. Very good. Okay, take a seat. We are not going to sing another song. We'll sing some later on. We're now going to feature our amazing gardener.
Would the kids like to come down the front? I recognise it's... what we'll do is we'll do kids talk. Kids can then go out to Sunday school. Then we'll have some notices and continue with the service. Now,
we've got some amazing songs between when the kids
and
go.
Yes, we've got some songs and other things too, thankfully. Now, remember last week, remember how I came along and we were talking about how God wants to make us into something different, but he can't if we're determined, stubborn, we don't want to be flexible, we don't want to change, we don't want to do anything, we're hard-hearted. And God wants us to make us into something that brings life and love and wonderful thing. And I was thinking, you know, for me, when I look around my garden, I see lots of beautiful things. And really what God's wanting to do is grow some love and life in us. And I thought I'd bring along something today. My favourite flowers. Are you ready? Shut your eyes. You've got to shut your eyes. Because I just need you to shut your eyes.
That's a beautiful flower. Don't look.
Okay, there we go. Look. They're my favourite flowers. They're lovely. They're just beautiful. Look
don't
how look how much blossom they've got on them.
Don't
and they're
say
just
it. Don't
lovely.
Tell him. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Just keep quiet.
You can even... Oh. They're lovely flowers, aren't they? What are they?
Soursops.
Soursops. Well, they're flowers, aren't they?
They're yummy.
They're yummy. but are they flowers?
No.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. They're actually... Technically, they're weeds, I think. Someone told me when I got here. I thought they were beautiful flowers. They said, Dave, you know these are weeds, don't you? Sometimes in our lives, we grow things that are weeds. What could weeds be? What could some things in our lives that are weeds? What like?
They're dirty.
They're dirty, yep.
They're sin.
They're what?
They're...
Stinky.
I mean, yeah. They're stinky, but they ruin other things.
Oh, they ruin other things. So weeds ruin other things. Sammy, what do you got? What could weeds... Why do we like weeds? Why don't we have a yard full of soursops? Why do we want flowers? Thinking. Well, I think I'm going to give you a bit of a tip. So one of the things is... What happens is... In my yard, these things just take over everything. And so nothing else can grow. So when we have things in our lives that are like weeds, like angry, fear, afraid, it just... covers everything else and stops everything else growing, like love and friendship and fun. So, this is what you guys are going to be doing in Sunday school. And if you'd like, you can take some soursops with you to chew on and think about. Maybe not. All right, let me say a prayer. You guys can get cracking. Dear Lord, we thank you for these young, wonderful people, and we ask that they would continue to grow life and love in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Don't go yet. We've got two amazing songs.
Two songs. Sorry, my
two
bad.
Two songs to sing. Come on, Chloe. Come and help us sing. We've got two songs. Two songs about light. This little light of mine. Okay, let's go. 4, 3, 2, 1, and we sing a song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, stop. On Thursday, remember? We were talking about this at practice on Thursday, and we said, we have to shine, all of us have to shine. Remember us saying this? All of us have to shine, and we'll see if everybody shines back at us. So we're going to keep a watch out. I've already seen some people shining. Shining doesn't mean to say, as Ken... Ken got his light out and he was shining his light. It doesn't mean that. The light shines off somebody's bald head. I didn't mean that, David. It means that you're shining, you're smiling, and you are shining from your eyes. So let's sing it once more. See how we go. See if we can get better check and shine. 4, 3, 2, 1, we sing it. You see the light of my heart. They're shining.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Another song about let your light shine. Let your light shine, let it be seen. This is a very simple song, a really simple, easy, straightforward song. Let's sing it. We've got some lyrics. Let your light shine. One, two, three, four. One, two, three.
Let your light shine, let it be seen. Let everybody see your love. Let your light shine, let it be seen, to the praise of the mighty God above.
When you're feeling happy, when you're feeling sad, when things go well and when things go bad,
let your light shine, let it be seen, everybody see your love. Let your light shine, let it be seen, praise of the mighty God above.
In the way you sing and in what you do, others might see the Lord in you.
Let the light shine, let it be seen, let everybody see your love. Let your light shine, let it be seen, to the praise of the mighty God above. The praise of the mighty God above.
Well done. Beautiful, beautiful. Let your weeds grow. Let them... thank you. Now we can have some kids going too.
It's cool. Off you go, you wonderful chums. How are you all doing this week? Today? How are you today? One is horrendous. 10 is fantastic. Somewhere in between. Yeah, right. I see some fingers. Yeah, look, it's a real interesting, strange sort of week we've had, hasn't it? And again, as Rob said, a bit later in the service, just before the intercessory prayers, we'll spend some time to focus on praying for the world situation, particularly the Queen, and for her legacy in our lives. Now, we have someone in our midst who is turning 90. Or has turned 90, I should say, and we're celebrating with the Women's Fellowship this coming week. So, Nancy, would you like to wave a little hand for us to all see? There you go. So, the fellowship meeting, Wednesday, 14th of September, 1:30 at the Vines. Come along, bring a plate, and a good chance to celebrate a significant milestone. 90 years, well done. I don't think there's a lot of other notices I have. I've got 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm doing some professional development on moral injury, so I won't be around Tuesday and Wednesday this week, so that'll be a bit of extra education. But I think that's about it. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pam.
Good morning. Our reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11 to 12 and 20 to 28. At that time, this people, yes, this very Jerusalem, will be told in plain words, the northern hordes are sweeping in from the desert steppes, a wind that's up to no good, a gale force wind. I ordered this wind. I'm pronouncing my hurricane judgment on my people. Disaster, hard on the heels of disaster. The whole country in ruins. In one stroke, my home is destroyed. The walls flattened in the blink of an eye. How long do I have to look at the warning flares? listen to the siren of danger. What fools my people are. They have no idea who I am. A company of half-wits, dopes and donkeys all. Experts at evil, but klutzes at good. I looked at the earth. It was back to pre-Genesis chaos and emptiness. I looked at the skies, and not a star to be seen. I looked at the mountains. They were trembling like aspen leaves. And all the hills rocking back and forth in the wind. I looked, what's this? Not a man or woman in sight, and not a bird to be seen in the sky. I looked, this can't be. Every garden and orchard shriveled up. All the towns were ghost towns. And all this because of God, because of the blazing anger of God. Yes, this is God's word on the matter. The whole country will be laid waste. Still, it won't be the end of the world. The earth will mourn and the skies lament, because I've given my word and I won't take it back. I have decided and I won't change my mind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're going to stand and sing. Make way, make way. If you can make a little half a second break between make and way so it doesn't become make way. That's just my little thing about I want this song to be make way, not make way, if that's okay.
Our Lord God, we thank you for life, and we know the complexities of it at times confront us. But yet each day we offer our lives to you in a way that can be of comfort and support to others. So we give this tithe of our lives, our money, to be used by you in whatever way can bring your love and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, so today, as we've mentioned, we're going to just pause and consider a little bit about the legacy of the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth. And, you know, I guess growing up she would have, I mean, she was never expected to be the Queen. And through a whole series of events, suddenly she was cast into that role and responsibility. And I suppose for her, there was lots of different grief experiences, like World War II, having lived through that trauma, and as many of you did as well. You know, the death of, the abdication of Edward VIII, the death of her father, and all these different aspects. For as long as I've been alive, the Queen has been a part of my life. And I guess for many of you, that's the same. So I would like you to turn to someone next to you and maybe, what is one thing you remember about the Queen? What is one thing of significance when you think of the Queen, you think, ah, yeah. Just turn to the person next to you. Anything. What is the one thing? What do you think? All right, let's bring it in. Does anybody want to share what is one memory that stands out for them about the Queen? David? Yeah.
And her life, faith, and absolute commitment to that faith journey as a sovereign.
Yep, so as the Queen, she still maintained a strong faith as the head of the church as well. Yep, yep.
John's got a really special story.
tell him.
Last time she came to Australia,
he touched her luggage.
I'm not sure if you heard that online, but one of our congregation members was unpacking the luggage from the plane when the Queen last arrived and had Her Majesty's luggage moved from one to the other. Fiona, you were going to say something?
Duty.
Yes, that's probably a key word. Hear that?
I thought the Queen should be husband.
Yeah, and really committed to a husband. Yes, that was Elizabeth and Philip were connected strongly. Let me read a couple of quotes to you, and no doubt we could share a couple other things. But here are two quotes particularly that I picked out of yesterday's paper. This is the Queen had a famous speech in 1992 when she summed up the year that included a fire at the Windsor Castle, separation of Prince Charles and his wife Diana, the divorce of Princess Anne and Mark Phillips, and the tabloid scandals involving Prince Andrew's ex-wife, Sarah. She said, 1992 is not a year on which I shall look back with undulated pleasure. In the words of one of my more sympathetic correspondents, it has turned out to be an annus horribilis. Yeah, just a terrible year. The other quote that I wanted to share is this one. After the death of Princess Diana in a car accident in 1997, she said this: "What I say to you now as your queen and as a grandmother, I say from my heart, no one who knew Diana will ever forget her." She seemed to be a woman who just, I could never imagine myself being in that public eye with that consistency and compassion and empathy. If she made mistakes, she learned from it and was able to regather and refocus. And she did that with great integrity and care with, I don't know how many people are in the Commonwealth, but there's a billion, I guess. And a lot of people she influenced. And so as a female in a man's world at her time, she showed excellent leadership. She showed excellent integrity. And she has made a massive legacy. So I invite you to just pause with me. I'll have a short time of silence and then just allow you to say some prayers as we pray. Lord God, we just pause for a moment and thank you and recognize that some people have more impact in the world and our lives than others. And we want to pause particularly to think of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth and the powerful impact and influence she's had on our world. So we offer some of our prayers for her and her family and gratitude as well as sorrow. So again, I invite you to offer some silent prayers to God in whatever way is appropriate. Lord God, we thank you for the compassionate example of leadership and service and duty. We think particularly as Charles III, as he now reigns, and we pray for the time that he is king, that his leadership may be full of the same sort of dedication, commitment, and consistency that marked his mother. Lord, we continue to offer our prayers for all the family and those connected who are grieving so deeply today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks. We're going to have a song, just one verse.
So we're going to sing Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Apparently this was either her favourite or one of Her Majesty's favourites. So we'll just sing the first verse, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. You're going to sing it too, not just us. Okay, standing.
Praise my soul.
Praise the everlasting King. Colin's going to stand up and pray for us and with us.
Let's pray together. O God of mercy and love, you are the refuge of our lives, our haven in a storm, our shelter when all about us spins and whirls in turmoil. When things fall apart, you are the calm centre to which we hold, assured that nothing in all creation can separate us from your love. So we come to you with our prayers this day as we share our hopes, our concerns, our joys, our sorrows, those matters which take our minds in a world of many ups and downs. We bring to you our loss of a caring and godly queen. We are grateful for the tireless work of Elizabeth in her many years of service to the Commonwealth. We thank you that we have been able to benefit from the dignity of her person. And we pray for the many people who express their deep grief at this time. We pray too for our new King, Charles III, as he adjusts to his new role. In the light of this heritage, we feel compelled to pray for many people in whose lands there is little peace and stability. We read of civil wars, of people who are crushed by authoritarian regimes, of the exploitation of the poor by the rich, and our hearts go out to them in our prayers. Our minds go to other places where natural disasters have been experienced. There are those who have lost even their meagre possessions to floods, those with water all around them, but none to drink. There are those whose livelihoods have disappeared to the ravages of drought. We pray that as a nation, we shall not be unmindful of these people. We pray too for the Ukrainian people in the ongoing war and express our concerns about alliances of nations that do not bring hope for peaceful coexistence in our needy world. On this day, which our American cousins call 9/11, we remember that it is an anniversary of great disaster for them, and we pray for them in their continuing grief. Lord God, we would pray for our own nation. We pray for our governments that they make wise decisions. We pray for health professionals, often staggering under heavy burdens. We pray for teachers and educationists generally. We pray for chaplains and clergy. O God, we pray for all of us that we might serve our community well. O Lord, it is important to pray for the world at large, yet we would pray for our own needs and the needs of others around us. So we take this opportunity of silence to bring these our private prayers to you. O God, centre of our lives, centre our lives that we might carry you to those whose lives are falling apart, who are lost in the storms, whose worlds are spinning around them. We know that nothing can separate us from your love. Help us bring those in need to take refuge in you. We bring these our prayers in Jesus' name, and we continue as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lord God, as we continue in our time together and make sense of the words from Jeremiah, we continue to ask that you would help love bloom in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. So we are grinding along. Maybe that's not the right word, I don't know. We're working our way through Jeremiah. This is the fourth week we've been looking at Jeremiah. And normally, when we look at the Old Testament, we have to understand it's a different way of understanding God's work in the world than what many of us would actually accept or consider today. Sometimes it's really jarring. But the last 3 weeks so far has really been trying to pick up some of the discipleship flow that I've pulled out of Jeremiah as well. So God calls and we respond. So those two things are hand in hand. Second thing is that often in the midst of hardship, it's easy to blame and complain. But the question that our history of faith draws is, where is God in our lives now? And then we had last week was the metaphor of the potter and the clay, and trying to be the difference between being hard-hearted and open to God. And so this week we're really trying to pick up, if we keep doing the same thing and expect a different outcome, that is a definition of insanity. And so as we listen through some of the words of Jeremiah, we can pick up some of those themes. In many ways, the Old Testament, they had no concept of global warming. So the sun rising, the moon setting, floods, rain, heat, all of this was considered to be the work of God. There wasn't any question about it. It was just God's work. Flooding, there was no global warming. It was just God's work, God at work. And of course, there was lots of different things people tried to do to mitigate that, to try and change God's mind. The second slide we have here is, I'm picking up some different words from what I picked up here, so from the reading. Look, he comes up in the clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind, his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are ruined. Tell the nations that here they are, proclaim against Jerusalem. Besiegers come from a distant land. They shout against the cities of Judah. They've closed in around her like watchers of a field because she's rebelled against me, says the Lord. And it goes on in verse 18. Your ways and your doings have brought this upon you. This is your doom. How bitter it is. It has reached your very heart. Now look, the words of judgment we don't take kindly at the best of times, do we? But what was interesting, when we think about the Old Testament, you see, when they had a war or a battle, it wasn't just simply the Israelites going up against the Philistines or whatever. It was a war being waged in heaven. So it was the gods fighting as well. So if you were victorious, your God had won. If you lost, your God had lost. So again, trying to get a sense of the background of this depth of reading and the struggle that prophet was going through and the people were going through, was trying to figure out what sense do we make of it. Now, we've just celebrated 70 years of the Queen's reign, and interestingly enough, that's how long the people of Israel spent in Babylon. So that whole 70 years trying to make sense of the fact that they'd lost their land, their Jerusalem, their temple, and their king. What do they do? How do they make sense of this? Really, what the prophet was saying is, hey, don't blame God. This is your doing. This is what's happened because of your choices you've made. Peterson, in his translation, goes like this. It's the way you've lived that's brought all this on you. The bitter taste is your evil life. That's what's piercing your heart. So again, remember that the imagery Jeremiah's trying to say is that you're not victims. You have a choice. And you're making some poor choices. You want life to be different? You need to change what you're doing. You need to change your decisions and your actions and behavior. The bitter taste, Peterson translates. If they wanted to follow God, if they wanted to have a connection, they had to keep the agreements. And we know in the Old Testament there's lots of examples of that not happening. It's the way you've lived. So one of the other verses that he writes right at the beginning, if you want to come back, O Israel, you must really come back to me. You must get rid of your stinking sin paraphernalia and not wander away from me anymore. Then you can say the words like, as God lives, and have them mean something true and just and right. So look, the Old Testament I find confronting because there's really not much room to blame anybody else. That's what the prophet's saying is, look, we're in this mess because we made some mistakes. Not because God was cruel or nasty or mean to us. We're in this situation because we made some mistakes. And if we want to change it up, we have to do things different. Now, we might at first think that's a bit harsh. But I tell you, being responsible for our actions is really quite liberating. I remember coming back from India. One of the first things I realized when I came back after about 6 or 7 months, I was in India and I came back early for Christmas. And all the faculty said, well, actually, I just did it behind their back. I just came back. It's better to ask for forgiveness, isn't it? Rather than permission. That's what they say. But I just came back. I just had enough. And I knew if I asked the faculty in Australia, they would say, keep going. So I asked the faculty in India, and they said, yeah, sure. Go back home for Christmas. And one of the things that, when I came back to Australia and was roundly criticised by the Australian faculty, I realised that in the end, I have to take responsibility for my actions. I have to take responsibility for my life. If I handball my decision-making to somebody else, and they make decisions I don't like, well, it's still my fault because I've got them to do the decision-making for me. And so it's, and in many ways, it sort of reminded me a bit like the Queen. I think one of the things that was so startling in her 70-year reign was that she wasn't a blamer. You know, she went through, endured so many years from the World War II, to all the different examples. She had the big picture. It wasn't about her, it was about the big picture. And she really took it seriously, to the point where she was constantly trying to work and connect the family back in. I mean, like, well, I'll stick my script. You go off script, you hear some trouble. But it's a bit like that Annus Horribilis, you know, 1992 statement, where she could have said a lot of stuff. She could have blamed a lot of people, but in the end, she just recognized it was just a terrible year. And it really continued to keep her connected and in relationship with so many other people. Even Putin sent King Charles III a letter commending the relationship that he had. So the Queen was able to somehow connect him with people that many in the world just would be unable to. And I think one of the things I liked most about her was she wasn't someone who gave in to despair. In fact, recently, like in the last couple of years, while she was in her 90s, they had this big interview with her, and she, I guess it might have been like a similar Christmas address, where she was addressing the people during COVID, and she basically said, look, this too will pass. We will get back to meeting together. We will get back to connecting with all those important things we always have. It's just a beautiful sense of not giving into despair. And I think that, for me, was really one of those powerful leadership things. And the next slide, you know, often what happens is in our lives we get stuck in a rut. There's a particular way of thinking that we just go around on circles in. And we get bogged like this. We get stuck. And it's maybe something's bad happened to us, maybe something we haven't liked. We feel unfair, unjust, blah, 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 blah. But it's very easy to get our thinking stuck in a rut, to just go over the same ground. And sometimes it's really, well, it's important that, and I think particularly during COVID, one of the things we realized is that when people had lots of time off, that they stopped and started rethinking their lives. And so many people came out of COVID with a new vision for what they wanted to do. Some even came out of COVID with a new partner. I don't know how that worked. But it's just like things changed. People thought, right, I'm happy with this, I'm not happy with that. And in many ways, sometimes that's what happens if we don't stop and reflect. We just keep regurgitating the same stuff. As I thought about this, I thought, well, it's nice to talk about ruts and our thinking, but how do we get out of it? A little pug. How do we get out of a rut? And a cute little picture of a pug. I think that's a pug, isn't it? That's a pug. How do we get out of our thinking that's just immersed in a rut? I think probably one of the important things, and which is often hardest, is to actually admit you have a problem. And that's part of, if you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome, we're missing something, seriously. But to actually consider what it is we have to change is really confronting. And I often find myself, if I'm doing something and getting the same outcome, I stop and try and unpack it and think, what do I need to do differently? Some things I can do because they're in my control. Other things I need to shape differently. And I guess for all of us, that's the same. I was watching 60 Minutes or some program where a man said, well, it was after 20 years that he finally realized he had a problem. And this has been in jail a couple of times. He had a couple of addictions. And so it's like, getting into a rut can be really a long, 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 long experience. So it's in our best interest to really allow life to get our attention, to actually consider, well, what is my faith? What am I? How does this connect? How can I do things differently? How can I be different? How can I discover? And one of the readings that Jeremiah talked about, which I really loved and which I think comes to play, is where he talks about plowing your unplowed fields. No one plows your unplowed fields, but then puts weeds in the soil. It just doesn't make sense. And the fact this is a metaphor from 2,500 years ago is really a wonderful illustration that human beings, guess what? We might look more sophisticated, but fundamentally we're the same. Okay, I'm not sure if that's good news, bad news. It's just what is. What I liked was that Jeremiah was saying, if you're going to take responsibility for your actions, you need to do something different. And if you're going to do something different, don't plow something like weeds into your beautiful life or your crop. No one does that. So even then, there was that understanding. So what does this mean for us today? At times, we plant things in our lives, don't we? Stinking thinking is one of my favorite terms that sort of covers lots of different things. I talk about cranky pants, I put them on sometimes. But there are things like resentment, regret, despair. There's a whole lot of blame, anger, fear, denial, self-pity. Jeremiah is saying if we want a different outcome, we have to intentionally plant something different. We have to actually specifically do something different. One of the interesting bits of research that's coming out is that weeds now are becoming resistant to herbicides. And so there was a whole article of bring back the plow. Most modern farmers, I'm unfortunately a real novice, just spray. But when you plow, you actually dig the weeds up. And that way, that destroys them. And one of the impacts that weeds have is that they actually shade out the other plants. And so in Western Australia, they've actually changed the rotation of their crops. Instead of running crops north-south, they've run them east-west. And what that does is mean that the weeds have less impact because they have less shade over the plants. And so it's really, this is modern 21st century, we're talking about bringing back the plow. I find that very ironic. There are some things we cannot change. And what we plant in our soil becomes a really vital, vital, important thing. So 2,500 years, Jeremiah's talking about the plow, and here we are talking about bring back the plow. And so there's a connection about not plowing into our lives the things that do us harm. What are the things that give us life? That's what we are meant to be sowing into our lives and the lives of those around us. It's a beautiful image. What is it that we can sow into our lives? Jeremiah was sowing hope so that when the people returned after their captivity, their relationship with God would be different but still intact. For us too, when you look over your history, your lives, what are some of those things that have really flowered beautifully? And what are some of those weed patches that just seem to keep coming back? I give you a moment of reflection. Take a little time to think. What is the one thing you've connected with today? What is the one thing you're taking home today? It might be something we've sung, a prayer or a scripture, whatever it might be. Just give you a moment to think. Lord God, in the midst of the world in which we live, we know it's very easy to just simply get into a bit of a habit or a rut, and when really we want to do something different to be alive. Lord, if there's things in our faith or our life that are inhibiting us knowing you more fully, then please, Holy Spirit, help us become aware of that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
So to finish off today, we will sing Father Bless Us As We Go. David will give us a benediction. And then Trevor is going to play another one of Her Majesty's, and maybe yours too, favourite tunes, which is The Lord's My Shepherd. You don't have to sing, but I bet you can't stop singing those words as he starts playing. We can just file out as we wish, but that's the sort of the setup. So let's sing Father Bless Us As We Go. Jesus, walk beside us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Let's stand and sing. Let us sing it, Father, bless us as we go. Jesus, walk beside us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Father, bless us as we go. Jesus, walk beside us. Holy Spirit, guide us once more.
From this place or whatever you do during the week, know that the love of Christ goes with you forever, now and always. Amen.